Blog Talk Radio.
Hudson, where you at? This is Gail Delicious Johnson of Delicious Talk. I'm your host this evening, along with my co-host Rhea Banks. The weather has let up a little bit up here. It hasn't been as hot as it's been the last few days. Hopefully it'll stay like that, but I know it's not, but it's all good. Hopefully everybody's having a nice Friday night and got everything done you had to do today and getting ready for this good show that I'm having this evening. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Rhea. Hello, Rhea, you there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic, darling. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good. Are you ready for this special guest we're having this evening out of Atlanta?
I tell you what I told him. I think so.
Okay. Yeah, so we're having a very special guest this evening, an author out of Atlanta, one of the hottest authors going on down there. since he's finished his second book, a sequel to his first book, but we're not going to get into his second book too much, but we are going to, you know, talk to him about his first book. So without further ado, I guess we better bring in J.C. Hi, J.C., how are you?
What's up, ladies? How y'all doing?
Fine, thank you. I have a little bio I'd like to read. He was born and raised in Augusta, Georgia. J.C. played collegiate football at Fayetteville State University in Fayetteville, North Carolina. After many years of professional indoor football, divorced with two kids, J.C. decided to put his storytelling abilities to work, which included writing several scripts that were made into short films. Kawan Foyu's, I hope I pronounced that correctly, novel, Street Dreams, was a major influence in J.C.'s writing. Blown away by one of his scripts, author LaJill Hunt convinced him to write his first book. J.C.'s experience growing up on 9th Street in Augusta was an unforgettable one. His great-grandmothers raised him from birth and gave him the best life they could. 9th Street and the surrounding hoods were crawling with drugs, gangs, and prostitution. Once in a neighborhood war himself, he found his way out of that life through football and writing. J.C. signed with My Time Publications and released his first debut novel, Beast. After venturing out to try genres other than street lit, J.C. met Stacey L. Moore and wrote three skits, which appeared in Eero's 369, Volume 2, published by Chocolate Coffee Books. Shortly after that connection, he signed with Chocolate Coffee Books and transferred Beast under that company, where it took on a transformation to put it on the level. It quickly became one of the hottest-selling books in the South. Wow. Okay, J.C., how you doing this evening?
Hey, lady, I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Let our listeners know a little bit about you.
Well, other than what you already said, there really isn't much more to me. Went to Lucy Lane High School here in Augusta. By the way, a correction, I'm here in Augusta, not Atlanta, but Atlanta's maybe like two and a half hours away. Depending on how fast you drive. Yeah, so I'm in Augusta.
Okay, you're in Augusta, Georgia. Okay.
Yeah. Did 4 years at Fayetteville State, lettered in football, left, got married. Shortly after that, I started, like, working on, like, little short scripts and actually worked on a feature script, which, you know, shopped it around and really wasn't really happy with, you know, the offers that was given to me, so I kind of kept it to myself. And during the time I was married, you know, my wife at the time was a real avid reader, so occasionally, you know, I would buy her, you know, books to read. And so I bought her this book, this novel by Kawan Foye called Street Dreams, and she read it, and she really liked it. So me, I never read a novel from front to cover. So I picked it up, you know, every now and then, took it to work, and I started reading it. And really, you know, like people say about, like, Beast, just really couldn't put it down. You know, I was just blown away by how it was vivid and so detailed. It just felt like you was there. And so along the way, this was during the MySpace era. I met up with a lady named LaJill Hunt, which was an author. We was pretty real good friends, and I was letting her know about the stuff that I was doing. So she had asked to read the script. And by her, she had already had so many novels up on her name. So I sent her the script, and all she kept saying every time she called me was, wow, wow. She was like, well, if you ain't doing nothing with it, you know, you can go ahead on and just turn into novel form. I'm like, whatever. So make a long story short, I kept telling her how I was, you know, fascinated with Kwan and Street Dreams. So one day she surprised me and called me, and he was on the other line. And so, you know, that was like, you know, I was trying not to be all groupies or whatever, but, you know, we talked and everything, and shortly a year after that, I had the opportunity to meet him in person when he came down south for a book signing. And from there, you know, it just took off.
Oh,
I started
okay.
writing and changing, you know, took the script, put it in the script form, changed the name, and then there was Beast.
Oh, okay, so that's how Beast came about. Okay,
yes, ma'am.
Now, your characters in your book, are they... you must know what I'm going to say, huh? Are they based on people that you actually know, or is it just all imagination? Because I think, you know, from reading the book, it was a good read. And, you know, reading the book, especially some of the scenes, the scenes where the executions and things like that were going on, they were so vivid. I could actually see when Beast had did what he did to, you know, to Red. I'm not going to, you know, say too much because I know people who haven't read it, they probably would want to get better enjoyment out of reading it. But I could actually see that. You know, I could see that scene, and it was like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know. How did have you ever seen a scene like that, or was it just completely from your imagination, or from when you had went through that script with the other thing, turning Beast into Beast?
70% of the scenarios in Beast are just purely fabricated. I mean, they were just things I made up. 30% of the stuff is stuff that I either witnessed, which most of it I witnessed, or heard of, or, you know, or seen on TV, and what I did was put my own spin on it, which created the other scenes that you saw. That you read. As far as characters, I mean, I'll be honest, yeah, I took, you know, people that I knew and put them, the way they act and their characters into it, and put them in the scenarios and ran with it. Of course, nobody know who's who really in the first one, but you know, it kind of worked out pretty good.
Okay, so these characters, did they ever do any of the things that was that they were given to do in the book?
I would say none of the homicides, no.
Okay, but some of the other things that went in, as far as the other things that had happened in the book, is the drugs and the club scenes and the women.
To an extent. I mean, of course, I fabricated a little bit on them to make it more enjoyable. But yeah, I'll say a lot of those things did go down in a sense.
Right. Okay. You also were raised by your great grandmother. You said, right?
Actually, my great grandmother. Yep.
And Tyreek Beast was. Yeah, Beast was raised by his grandmother. So it was basically not saying that you were Beast, because I know the things that Beast did, I couldn't even imagine that you did them, you know. But you sort of put yourself like in his position. So a person can say that you are that character in the book. Is that fair to say? But you
all
know,
right.
I know that you didn't do the things that he did.
Okay, for the first time on your show, I'm going to admit to some things. You know, other shows, I'll be like, no, it ain't me, if I'm kidding. I would say that part of me is that character. The only thing
right.
that I just... put him in a situation, and if I were to be in that situation, how would I possibly act in that
mm-hmm.
situation? But as far as the things that went on, as far as what he had to do, the initiations, and all that, and it was just fictitious.
Right. Okay. Did you do any research, you know, while you were writing your book, or you just basically wrote it? Just wrote it out.
Well, a lot of things, I mean, about the street, I mean, there wasn't really much in that book to really research. I mean, I did research a few things, like how to make, you know, the stuff in the kitchen and all that. But, I mean, a lot of the stuff was just by me just street smarts. I got friends that's, you know, that's into that stuff heavy. And you know, if I ever needed to go to anyone about something, I can always just go and ask, say, yo, what's the deal with this? How is this done or whatever? And, you know, they'll break it down to me. So my research was really done with my friends. I say 90% of it.
Right. Okay, and the characters, for instance, how did you come up with those names, Moet, Soup, let's see, another, Dent, Rock? Those were some pretty...
Yeah, well, honestly, like I said, during the MySpace times, you know, I actually just went down my MySpace list and went through the local newspaper and just looked for names. And if I saw a name I liked, I wrote it down. And I have friends that you know, they would give me their, you know, that would give me their, you know, some names to put down. Actually, then, the guy whose character I based that off of came up with that name, because his name was actually a whole different, you know, name, but, you know, he was like, man, he sounds like a Dent, and then Dent was born from then on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we have a caller on the line. We're going to bring them in and see what they have to ask or make a comment.
Oh, Lord.
Caller 111, are you there?
Mary, honey, little lamb.
Wow. Somebody has to go home and take their meds, I guess. Well, we have another caller. Let me see.
Wow.
Yeah. It gets like that sometimes. 706, are you there? Okay, I guess they're just listening. Okay, if you hit the one and put your hand down, I won't bring you in. But if I see your hand up, I'm going to bring you in. Okay, I lost my little train of thought. But you have been writing since when? JC? JC?
You hear me?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you at first. I must have muted you or something, because that's the number. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. I thought something had happened on my end. I've been writing, actually, been doing, like, little skits and stuff. I was in college. I mean, it was all to myself, you know. It was nothing that, you know, I, like, just show people, you know. Sometimes when I had free time, there was no practice. There were no basketball games going on, and you know, I really, you know, when I was just there, you know, I just write little skits. But I always had imagination ever since a little kid, because growing up, I had a big backyard to myself, and I played by myself, and I act out scenarios. So, you know, I've always just had a vivid imagination to just do things. And then once I learned how to put it on in ink and on paper, you know, then I was able to start expressing that way.
Okay. So we're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be right back.
Now, wait a minute, Shirley. I'm a young woman, and I can't afford to do all the things you do for this man. I don't even have a job, and I can't buy his clothes, pay his car note, and I surely can't keep money in his pocket. But I can give him what he needs, when he needs it, Now that's all he expects from me. I can give him love from his woman to you. There's a thing or two I'd like to say. I don't care who claims this man. I'm gonna love him in a way. Woman to woman. You spent last night with me. Say this. Where he wanted to be. From his woman to you.
Barbara Mason, From His Woman to You. Welcome back to Delicious Talk. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, with my co-host, Rhea Banks. And our special guest this evening is JC. And if you have any questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. So, JC, when you finished Beast, what else did you dive into?
Well, after that, it was nothing. I was still trying to, at the time when Beast first came out, was still trying to get a fan base, still trying to get recognition. And so what happened was I had sent off for a review, and the review, of course, came back. It was a, you know, three out of five stars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that at the time the reviewer had pointed out was the editing. And, you know, at first I was trying to dismiss it, but then, you know, it started to bother me. And then I started hearing people talk about how editing can kill a story. So I went to my publisher at the time to talk about it, and I'm not going to get into it too much of what happened with that.
Right,
you know,
right.
I had found that it was, at the time, it was the best for me to move on. So,
right.
A perfect opportunity came up when, at the same time, I was venturing out. I had met Stacey Elmore, which is an author, and he had asked me to dive into this erotica scene. I'm like, erotica? You know, at first I was like, nah, but then, you know, after thinking about it, I said, okay, I'll do a couple of things and get in there. And then I met Miss Mimi Jacobs, which was
mm-hmm.
a blessing. That was probably the best thing that happened to me in writing up to date. And I was letting her know what was going on, and I told her, I said, I'm currently looking for a publisher, but But mm-hmm. I'm looking for a publisher that will take over my current book, and then I will do another book under them. And so what she asked me to do was send her a copy of the book. I laugh at her response to the editing of the book now, but, you know, back then it kind of made me cry because, you know, I put a lot of hard work into that book.
Right.
And then I trusted it to someone. And, you know, at the time, being new in the game, I didn't understand the true importance of editing.
Right.
And now, you know, I realize. And so she took me on. And, I mean, under her, I learned so much and everything. So I started getting into and writing my next book. And things was pretty slow because, you know, I've kind of got sick at one point and some other things was going on. So I had to keep pushing the date back. And the one thing I can say about her, man, she never gave up on me. She stayed in my corner. She pushed me now, but she never gave up on me. And all of a sudden, I was finished. I think I took a whole week vacation to finish mm-hmm. the book. Susan is just a wonderful editor. I mean, she stayed on me about everything down to the T and dotting the I and the comma and everything and you know, everything to make me better. And then Dwayne, can't forget about him. He, you know, his artwork for the cover,
right,
and everything.
He's dynamic.
Yeah, the whole family is just beautiful. And BCD dropped like a month ago, and again, it's just a blessing. And everyone they just loving it.
Well, what was your decision to write a sequel? Was it the feedback from the first book, or you just felt that it was other things that needed to be added on to it?
Well, I left the first one kind of at a cliffhanger, and everybody was reading it was how they was like, they're not really mad, but how they were so upset, and they wanted to know what happened next. So I ended up saying, okay, well, what I'll do is this other book that I wants to do, I'm going to put on hold, and I'm just going to go and do a sequel to this book. So I picked up from where I left off, and, of course, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, I want this one to be better than the first one. But then I was saying to myself, no, because if I try to push to do that, then I might mess it up. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to write it. And if it's better, that is beautiful. If it's not, then, you know, I at least still want to be able to give people something enjoyable to read. And my feedback from the second one just supersedes the first one, and I'm just grateful. And my supporters just make me want to continue to do more. So they already talking about, is there going to be a third one? I don't know.
They always want more. So which book, in your opinion, is the better book, or are they both, to you, the same? Would you get more feedback off of which book?
Well, the first one's going to always be my baby because that was my first,
right.
And you know, and everything. But I have to be honest. I think I agree with, like, 90% of my readers. I think the second one is just kicks butt. Hands down. I mean, it's my opinion. I ain't saying it's the best, you know, street lit book out there, but I haven't had no one that read it. I had no complaints on it at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a caller. I'm gonna bring this caller. Caller 585. Are you there?
I'm here.
Do you have a question or comment for JC?
Just a comment.
Oh, okay.
Hey, JC.
Hey, what's up, lady? How you doing?
Hey, fine. This is Nika. I was just congratulating you on finishing Beast and Beast AD, because at that time when you finished Beast AD, I know you was really sick, and it just shows your dedication to your gift and to your supporters. So I just want to give you kudos.
Thank you.
Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah, that was a bad time. I mean, it was like I kept getting sick after sick, and then once in the middle of it, I ended up I had to do the hospital for like 5 days, and it was miserable. So I'm up there in the hospital with my laptop. I'm like, you know, I'm finna get this done, but, you know, but after that, it was kind of hard because the meds, I was on so many meds, and I was still trying to push. And in the back of my mind, I'm hoping these meds ain't messing up the direction that I want this book to go in. But thank you, Nika.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have another caller. Caller 770, are you there?
Am I here? What's good, y'all?
Hey, Lisa, what's happening?
Jeez, you, I know, I was calling into this show.
What's up, Lisa?
If I didn't do no other show tonight, I was calling into this one. When they said, JC, oh, here I come.
What's
yeah.
Up,
you was in the hospital, like, straight. You texted me back from the hospital. I'm like, what? Why you in the hospital? But, yeah, you the beast. You was definitely the beast. But you was such a straight teddy bear. Like, for real. Like, for real. But what you got going on, yeah. I definitely got you back 24/7.
That's
you know
up.
That. And Mr. Lish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Somebody got to have your back. I'm just trying to say something. But that's another story for another day. Y'all got to get to Atlanta. And, JC, I'm moving to Augusta in October.
Okay, I'll be here.
But I know. That's the whole problem. Like, I'll step down. I'm going to be, like, looking for protection. Oh, there's the beast. I'll be all right.
Okay, that's what's up. I got you. Come on.
I know. I'll be there in October. And y'all got my mad love for y'all, for real.
Well,
okay.
I got mad love for
you
too, Lisa. And I do appreciate you.
And now I got to go clean the rest of this house and get ready. Kanika's coming. Kanika's coming from Alabama. Like, one of our authors is coming from Alabama. And she's like, what? I'm like, what? So, we going out tonight.
Oh, okay.
Be careful out there.
Yeah.
I ain't
got to
be careful
time.
For nothing. You know, the homeboys is right diagonally around the corner. Please don't. I fed them tonight. They're good.
Okay.
I just cooked and fed them. So, but JC, on some real, keep doing what you're doing. Because we got mad love for you. Mad love for you out here in the literary world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Those are things that I hear like that keeps me going. I appreciate it. Thanks, Lisa.
You ain't got no choice, JC, because you don't want me to make a trip around the corner, come to Augusta and knock on your door and say, what? Because you know I will.
Okay.
They got scared when I touched down up north and went to the Harlem Book Fair. They was like, oh, shit, Lisa's really here. Yep.
Wow.
My bad, Delish. I just got on your page. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. When you get a chance, Lisa, give me a call.
Inbox me your number.
Okay, hon.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Well, JC, as you already know, because we've already talked, this is Rhea, first of all. I haven't gotten to it yet. I got two more books ahead of it. And I'll get to them. I'm actually reading both of them back to back.
That's what's up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, just keep me informed of what you think. You know, me and you.
Yeah,
you know,
most
we,
definitely.
We always communicate.
Most definitely.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get up north to make one of those Harlem book festivals. I keep hearing about it. People keep telling me to come up there. I think I'm going to have to do it next year.
Wow. Well, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that you've been doing book signings in different venues. How is that working out for you?
Oh, great. I mean, my first one for Beast was successful, and my second one was successful. I did expect more people at the second one, but, you know, it was just one of those nights. It was Friday, and And then, you know, I understand how it is, but, you know, yeah. And people's constantly buying, and my Kindle is just zooming. It's like unbelievable. So everything's going great with both books, and you know, just all those things there. And when I hear people talk, like the callers that did, it just continue to make me want to press on and do more and stuff. So I'm not going nowhere. You know,
right.
I'm here, and I'm going to write until, you know, God says
you
it's
can't
gonna,
write no more. I feel
it.
The same way. I feel the same way. Would you like to read an excerpt from your book for our listeners?
Oh, I was not prepared for that.
I should have told you.
All my books, you know, I keep them in the car because, you know, I'd be on the street selling, but I'm sorry. I did not prepare for that, and I should have been.
I should have told you that,
yeah.
You know, you were going to read an excerpt. Well, since you can't read an excerpt, can you give them a little taste of what's going on in Beast?
The first one? Okay.
Yeah, the first one.
Well, pretty much, you know, in a nutshell, Beast is a college student that was really good in football. And, you know, he was at a party one time, and some cats got to fighting, and they started shooting. So one of the bullets got enlarged in his knee. So that pretty much ended his
football career
as far as that. And he was also, he was supposed to be in the draft. But after that, you know, he came home. He was pretty bitter about everything. And his homeboys that he went to school and grew up with, his best friends, had already started, you know, the street life and was doing really well. And, you know, to make a long story short, not to tell the whole story was, you know, he earned his reputation throughout the whole book to the bitter end. And he kind of falls in love with the wrong girl, and I think that's what shot the whole book off.
Mhm.
Mhm. So.
Yeah.
And then that goes into like the second book where, you know, it picks up. The second book is a whole different plot from the first one. The first one is basically about love, loyalty, sex, trust. It's just, you know, the basis of any, I guess you would say, any kind of relationship, whether it's on a friend level, a business level, a love level, and all, you know. The second book is more of, you know, the second book is just hard to explain. You just have to read it.
Right.
There's a few sex scenes that I just went gritty with them. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of homicide scenes that was just raw. And I just tried to paint a picture of, if you're reading it, I want you to feel like you're there as if you were watching it on TV or at the movie.
Right, because like I had mentioned, I could actually see the scene where, you know, what had happened to Red. I could actually see the, you know, it was just like I was there watching it, that scene. And the other scenes, they were pretty graphic, and if a person has a weak stomach, then I really don't suggest that you read them because they're very graphic, and, you know, using your imagination, you're seeing all this, these things happening. And like I was going to also mention, Beast to me was a twisted love story because Beast basically was in love with one of the characters. I really don't want to give any of this story away, but when you get the book, you would have to read it and, you know, draw your own opinion on it. But to me, it was, you know, about Beast being in love and, you know, wanting to do what he wanted to do and, you know, that's basically how I depict
right.
it. Now,
right.
Beast 2, go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he pretty much did what he did, and it didn't matter what the consequences was, because his the way he thought about it was, you know, when they come to me with it, I'm just going to meet them head on with it. So he wanted it. He went after it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was basically that's how I saw it. He was really wanting to be with that particular character. And how it ended, I was like, what? You know, but I guess I would have to read Beast 2 to really find out what happens, because I was, you know, like you said, you left a cliffhanger, and it is a cliffhanger, especially when you had put the excerpt to The Coming Beast,
yeah.
you know, in the book. Yeah, because I said, wow, you know, and I was really, you know, I'm really thinking, you know, what's going on, but I guess, like, I, you know, I would have to really read the second one and then, you know, draw the conclusion from that.
Okay. Yeah, I think you would enjoy it. I mean, it's just as gritty. It's just as vivid. I mean, I didn't hold nothing back on. I remember being at one of the book club meeting when I had Book of the Month, and one of the members was like, why do you have to be so graphic? Well, why you got to use that language in the dialogue? Because, one, I want to keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guys on the street going to be like, yo, let me go get me a bottle of beer on criminal. They'll be like, you know what I'm saying? It's more like, I'm going to go get me a MF bottle of beer, drink, turn up. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm
that's just the lingo that they use.
So, I mean, I wasn't, you know, I was just trying to keep it as real as possible. And by me being a first-time author, you know what I'm saying, I just felt like I just had to write it from my soul and my heart. So, yeah, she took up like 30 minutes arguing with me and other members about, you know, the language and stuff. But, it, you know, everybody decided to their opinion. But,
right.
you know, it's just, it's real. It's real. And that's how I'm going to write. I mean, I one thing I know, I'm sorry, is that I'm not mm-hmm. going to be able to please everybody with what I write. I mean,
that's true.
I'm pretty sure every review that comes across, you know, they're not going to like my story, because a lot of people, even these reviewers, and even the one that did review for, she told me afterwards, which if I would have known before, I would have never sent it to her. Most reviewers don't care for street lit.
Yeah, well,
you know,
have your audience of people who read different genres, and
right.
You know, that's just what they want to read, because some books I can't get through them, you know, depending on, because if a book doesn't grab me from the first few pages, I have a really, really hard time reading it. And sometimes, to be honest with you, I won't read it because I can't see the point of reading a book that's not holding my interest.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, it's just the genre that people like to read and the types of reads that people like to read. Because I had got the review on my book. One reviewer, she got the page, in my first book, she got the page 50-something and said she couldn't get into the book. Now, I know that she probably never even read the book, because she had
right.
had the book for month after month after month. And I guess because I was, you know, kept inquiring about when was she going to send me a review, I guess she just said, well, let me just get rid of her. You know, that's the attitude I got, because everybody who has read the book has given me, you know, good reviews. Not to say that, you know, I'm not going to ever get a bad review, but I just know that her review was more personal
right.
as opposed to, you know, reading the book and giving me a fair review. And, you know, you just have people who read certain books, like you have your Christian books. If I sent them my book, they, you know, probably wouldn't, you know, want to read it, or would read it and give me a review non-Christian or Christian review or whatever. But I, you know, basically try to target people in my genre who like to read those types of books.
Right, right. And I, a lot of these groups, and especially like on, well, a plus groups on Facebook. I'm in a lot of book groups, and every now and then the topic will come up about, you know, genres and what people like, and it seems like, you know, there's always people in genres, and I'm not knocking, I don't knock nobody, because, you know, you read what you like, you write what you like, but
right.
When somebody knocks my, you know, my genre, I kind of get upset, because I feel like, you know, they hate, because street lit is right now is the hottest, as far as urban community, is the hottest, you know, genre out there. And it's growing,
mm-hmm.
and it's steady growing. And all those people that are doing it, and I'm like I said, I'm not knocking all the contemporary dramas. These little, you know, my mom ain't been to church type dramas, or you know, my girlfriend is with my best friend, or what I'm gonna do type drama, or my bill need to be paid type drama. I'm not knocking. Some people like those, and there's a lot of authors that do, I mean, excellent jobs with those things. But street lit, if you get into a street lit, got every possible genre in one. If you look at it, because you're gonna have your sex, you're gonna have the drama between probably two males or a female. You're gonna have the bills, the projects, you know, all that stuff is in street lit because it's true. So when people knock it, you know, I kind of get upset about it, and then I tend to not even get into the conversation because it you know, that's one of the things I just don't debate about, that in politics and religion. So, I mean,
right.
I just hate it.
Right. Well, you know, like you have to, you know, target your audience because there are, you know, people out there who love street lit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had read a book that I forget the author, but I had saw on Facebook, somebody had just cut this book up and said he was a poor writer, this and that, the book wasn't this. But in my opinion, the book was pretty good. So that just goes mm-hmm. to show that one person's trash is another person's treasure.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't always...
As a reviewer, I tell people... Well, point blank, if you have a specific area, genre that you don't want, that you're not that interested in, then don't pick up a book from there. Just like you,
right.
Just like you would go to see a movie. If I don't like certain type of movies, I'm not going to go see that movie. Don't pick
right.
up a book from there because you can't. You're doing yourself a disjustice just as well as you're doing the author a disjustice. There's no way you're going to enjoy that book because you have predetermined disposition regarding that book already. So, as a reviewer, and even though I've had those that disagree with me, I stand firm on the point of you have to be open-minded enough to read a story for what the story is, the quality of the story itself, not the book the person wrote before it, not whether or not the person is going to write a book after it. You need to look at that story that's before you and be able to write about and talk about that story as it is. And that's how I review books.
Right, right. And the thing about reviews is reviews follow that novel and that author pretty much for life. I mean, that review is going to stick. And you know the lady that did my review for Beast when it was the editor, I mean, she was right. I mean, I wasn't mad at her or anything. You know, she said what she said was right. But even though now that my novel has, you know, all the grammatical errors have been taken care of and those little minor little glitches that, you know, that was kind of hindering the story has been fixed. When you go on Amazon to download my book off Kindle, and if you're going through the my reviews, you see all those reviews, 5-star, 5-star, 4-star, and you get to that and you read that, and you read it's talking about errors, you know, editing errors, you know, it might make somebody be like, oh, I don't know, because one thing I hate, because you know how avid readers are, one thing I hate is a poorly written book, and then they ain't going to want to buy it. So you know, so I just firmly about editing and real. I appreciate, you know, reviews, you know, and anytime I get a review, whether I hate what somebody say, you know, accept it. I mean, because you have to realize, you know, everybody's not going to like Street Lit. Everybody's not going to like Erotica, you know, and sometimes even when I send my book into a review, you know, I'm hesitant because I'm like, you know, one of the questions I asked them before I sent, I say, do you have anything against Street Lit or Shoot a Hard Dialogue? You know, when they say no, then, you know, I still sit on it and I possibly go on and send it. So, you know, reviews are very important to the author.
Right. Well, I had a review one time, and, you know, some of these reviewers, they do things out of they're not honest with their reviews because I had a review and the reviewer had said that my editing and I needed a new publisher and all this whole kind of stuff, and I knew it was directed at the publisher. It was something personal that they had against my publisher and the editing because no one else had complained about the editing. Now, I did get complaints in my first book because it didn't have chapters in it, but you know, I didn't really think that that took anything away from the story. But this person was vindictive towards the publisher, you know, to say something like that, you know. And, you know, you really have to be careful of some people that you send your books to, you know, because if you send it to somebody, you know, like you said, that reviewer follow you, send it to somebody that maybe, you know, don't like Street Lit, and the book is excellent book, and then they get it and they'll say something like, well, I didn't like it because of this, that, you know, just the simple fact of, you know, instead of them not reading it, you know, just don't read the book, you know, opposed to putting out false information, you know, because, you know, like I had also mentioned, just because one person doesn't like it doesn't mean other people won't like it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you have to be very careful at who you send your books to. And I sent books to reviewers who didn't even get back to me, you know. And when I contacted them, they telling me they had 700 books before mine. You know, just stupid, you know, just saying all kind of dumb things, you know, just saying, well, I didn't read the book. I'm not going to read the book. It's not interesting or, you know, whatever. But if you had 700 people before me, why did you tell me in the beginning to send you the book?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And I know this person, you know, was fabricating the truth. But,
right,
you know, it's just, you know, getting your books reviewed, because I love to hear the reviews that people have, whether they be good or bad, because sometimes I be reading reviews that some of these authors get, and I be saying, wow, I wonder why, you know, it piques my curiosity to really want to read the book and find out why, you know, this one person come along, oh, that book was garbage, it was this, and they have 100 other ones that saying it was the best book they ever read. So, you know, sometimes even a bad review is good.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you have to give people credit for being able to read past what I call the bullshit, okay?
Right.
Because when you get a review, when you get a book that has 19 good reviews and this one review that chops it up, if a person is logical, they're going to look at that and say there was something personal tied up in this, or this person was on a particular mission when they did this. Now, I know I've been criticized for not addressing editing issues in books. I've said this before and I'll say this for forever. We're human. There's always going to be an error. Okay? Our number one authors have errors in their books. If an error does not take you away from the story, in my case, it's not worth mentioning. Now, if it's loaded with them, that's a different story. But if you find a word here or the misword here, or the if it doesn't take you away from the story, to me, it's not worth mentioning. And I've said that before, and I may say something to that author directly, But I won't address that in my review because to me it's not worth mentioning. Because some people latch on to things like that and they're, okay, I'm not reading that book.
Right.
And to me that's just not the way you're supposed to review a book.
Right. My review I got from, and I, well, no, I'm not going to mention a name, was the turning point of Beast, because if I would not have gotten that review, you know what I'm saying, I probably would have still been in the same place with the same book with, you know what I'm saying, and probably wouldn't have been as successful with it now as I would have been if, but that review changed a lot because when I took that review to the publisher and said, this is what I got, and she, in so many words, was like, so, I knew it was time for me to go. Because that means that as being her author, I felt that the interest of my book was not, you know, she didn't really care, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, so like I said, just meeting up, meeting my publisher I got now, Mimi Jekyll, was just a blessing. And it just, I learned so much. I learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
So people, when you read an author's book and you love it, it doesn't take long to do a review on the book. I mean, if you just put it on a Facebook page, or even better, if you just put it on, you know, Amazon or whatever, or whatever you do the review, because we need those things. Those things what keep us, one, motivated, and keep other people interested in reading them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, in the chat room, Penelope Flynn says she disagreed. Just because 10 other people like a book doesn't mean that number 11 will like it. Number 11 has the right not to like it, and you're not ever going to satisfy everyone. And just because someone doesn't like that book doesn't mean that they have an agenda. You agree with that, Rhea?
No.
I can't get
that's a fact,
check.
And that's not what I—that's not what I was saying. I'm saying this as a reader. If I look at reviews and I look at, and this book has 19 four or five star reviews, and then this book over here had, and then all of a sudden 20 comes up with a one star review. I am, as a reader, me. Talking about me, I am going to discount that review. I'm going to discount that review for one reason. There's no correlation, okay? Now, if this person broke that story apart and told me why did they gave that review that amount in their reading, if you tell a story apart, you don't like those type of stories. You shouldn't have even reviewed that book. Most groups that do reviewing, especially those that are like magazines and groups of entities that review, they usually ask you when you come on board as a reviewer, what do you like to read? They do that for a reason. Because if I don't like Christian literature, I may tear a Christian literature book apart saying this is not realistic. I've never experienced this in my 45 years of living, and blase, blase. Well, you know what? I may not have. But that story is for the content of that story, and if I look at that story and read that story for what that story is, then I may see it from a different thing. But if I'm only relating it to my experiences and to what I know, which is what most people do, okay, then I shouldn't have even been reading that book. Everybody is not going to like your book, true enough. Nobody, and I understand that. But when you get something that's that different in parallel, it has to be a bigger reason to that. And 9 times out of 10, if you read that review, it's either going to tear that story apart, which means they don't like that type of story, or they're not going to give you examples about why they don't like this and why they don't like that. Then therefore, it's empty. I've looked at several of the very negative reviews on Amazon, and I can tell you a handful of them that I would really would be willing to bet my left arm they never read those books.
Yeah.
Because they can't tell you anything about the content of what's in the body of that book. And one lady just does not like that type of story. And she constantly reviews those type of books, which I find very interesting.
Wow.
Right. You know, because it's when it gets personal, as I put in the chat, so you can only review the book if you like it.
Again, that's not what I said.
Well, as a writer, I know that, again, I say I'm not going to, you know, satisfy even people that love street fiction. I'm not going to satisfy every reader, but, you know, and it's just the way it is. And if they don't, I mean, it's cool. You know, I still appreciate them putting the time and effort in to try to read it or finish it, you know, but, you know, it's the reviewing part of it is like I say, we us as authors, we need them, but, you know, if it's not what you like to read, I don't think that is fair to the author or even the readers that's coming behind that person that's looking for a good book to that they give a bad review. You know, the person that reviewed Beast, you know, I had asked them point blank after they posted. I said, how do you feel about Street Lit? She was like, it's nothing I would read. I said, well, would you recommend it? She said, I'll recommend it to people I know that likes that kind of stuff, but, you know, this is nothing I would pick up. But yet, you know what I'm saying, you gave me a review. So, but it is what it is. I learned a lot, and I understand I can't, I can't satisfy everybody. So, you know, every now and then I'll get that I don't give a F attitude about it and continue on, and the supporters that support me and continue to want to, you know, read my stuff, you know, fine. I mean, I may not always do Street Lit. You know, right now I'm thinking of a couple of genres I want to do just to test the water. Because, you know, I don't want, even though I am a street lit author and proud of it, you know, I still want, just like when I got into the erotica thing, I didn't know I was going to do as well as I did. I did very well. Would I do a complete erotica novel? No, I wouldn't. But, again, you look in a lot of street lit, hip-hop lit, urban lit, whatever you call it, it got erotica in it. I mean, some authors just tone it down a notch, but it's in there. I mean, if you write a street lit book, more than likely, there's going to be some kind of sex scene in it somewhere. This is my opinion. Unless you're doing a Christian street lit, you know, and then to each his own on that.
Well, I read a book that the girl was hitting for it to be a Christian lit book, but when she had submitted it, the lady said it couldn't go as a Christian lit book because it had graphic scenes of murder, rape, and this and that. So those books, you know, if you're gonna each book, I guess, the genre that you write in, you know, I guess it's a thin line between when it comes to having that book reviewed. If you're doing a Christian book, you know, some Christians who are going to be reviewing it are not going to see it, opposed to the way if I read it and saw it. So, I don't know. You know, you got the reviewers, the people in. Someone had wrote in the chat room, they disagree. A good writer can write in many genres. There are certain writers that I would read in any genre. And I can't agree or disagree with that, because I've read books by, I'm not going to call out any names, by a certain author, and read another book the same author wrote, and it really wasn't, you know, as good as it was not comparable to the first books that I read by that person. So, you know, I'm not going to say yay or nay as far as that's concerned, because, you know, you have authors that don't do anything but put out good books. And I read two books by this author, and the rest of the books, I couldn't even get into them.
Right. Yeah. Well, I can't get in the chat room to defend anything I said for some reason, but if I said that, I apologize. But if one author want to challenge several different genres, I mean, he may be good in all of them, but there's always going to be one that stick out. And more than likely, it's going to be the one he enjoyed writing the most. I'm a street lit author, and although I'm going to attempt to tackle other genres, I may do very well in others, but I know where my heart is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it is what it is. Everybody got their opinion, and, you know, it's just that.
Well, you know, as long as you're happy and, you know, you have your followers and the people who, you know, do like your book, I guess that's all you need to be concerned about, because you can't please all the people, you know. And the ones who are pleased with you, then, you know, I guess you just, you know, would keep them happy. And not to say that someone else won't get on the train, but, you know, you have your followers and you have the people who, you know, who enjoy the books that you put out. So,
right.
You know, I
in
guess
general,
that's basic.
People tend to do better in their writing where their imagination leads them. And if they are in a particular area, especially if it's like a lot of authors say you write what you know. And if this is your arena, sometimes you stay there. Yeah, you can filter off here and there sometimes, but in general, you don't have people, not the masses. There's always going to be exceptions to the rule, okay? But people tend to sometimes write what they know, and they tend to do well in that particular area. And if your imagination doesn't go over there, just because you can't write over there doesn't mean you're not a good writer.
Right. Right. Well, again, really, like I said to that person that said that, they had their opinion about it, but I just think, you know, you write better and as an author, and I'm still fairly new to it. I only have two books out. And amidst, I don't know everything, but I know that where my heart is it's with, you know, street lit. You know, I see a lot of people, you know, especially like I say back in groups, they always got something to say about street lit. Well, it's only about the stuff in the streets. Yeah, but look how we put it down on paper though. Look how it's flourishing. I mean, that genre is flourishing, and I mean, it is what it is. I mean, so, you know, and I'm going to tackle other things. My next book is going to be, I'm just compiling a whole bunch of short stories. Some of it going to be street. Some of it going to be erotic. Some of it going to be scientific. Some of it going to be gothic. You know, I'm going to mix it up. You know what I'm saying? Again, I want to test and see how I fit, you know, so. And if people want to label me as just a street lit author, there it is, so be it. I still got supporters, and hate to say it like this, I'm still getting money. So there it is.
Okay. In the chat room, someone asked, JC, have your readers ever made special requests with regards to your stories? Do people contact you and ask you to focus on certain characters in your next book or ask you to have a particular plot?
I do say a lot of people, but I ain't gonna say a lot. Let me rephrase that. I've had several people that have asked me was like, for instance, they're going to be a third installment to Beast. You know, I'll be like, I don't know. And then they'll be like, well, if you do it, this is what you need to do. You need to have this to happen, and you need to have that to happen. And when she do this and she drop the camera, it need to be this, and then this need to happen. So in that sense, I would say yeah, but I have not really had no one to really say how a certain character should be as of yet now. He's saying it ain't going to happen, but, you know, I've had people to say they didn't like certain things a character did in the book, but, you know, even the characters is human. So, you know, but to answer the question, yeah, Nate, I've had people to say how the next book should go, but not necessarily say, you know, point out how something should be in the current book, if I answer the question right.
Okay, now when you write your next book, I'm sure that you're going to be writing it from where you want to write it and, you know, not going to write it for, you know, particular people asking you to put this and to do that because, number one, those are only a few people. Look at all the other people that are going to be reading the book, and you cannot satisfy everybody. So from that perspective, you know, these people weren't saying you should do this, you should do that. You're going to do it the way that you want to do it. Am I correct?
And that's how I did the second one, because for the first one, I had people was like, you need to let this happen, you need to let this happen, you need to do that and this, and I didn't do it. And when they read the book, they completely forgot about the thing they said, because they still praising it, and, you know, again, it's just a blessing. And, you know, so, yeah, I don't want to, the style that I try to bring is, I try not to be predictable. I mean, when you read it, if you're thinking a certain thing is going to happen, 9 times out of 10, that ain't what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But something's going to happen that's going to make you be like, whoa. So that's how I try to write. And so I try to be pretty unpredictable.
Right. Let's see if these callers have anything they have to say. 585, do you have another comment or question for JC?
Nico, okay. I was asleep.
She's just listening. Okay. Let's see. 904, do you have a question or comment for JC?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know I can be heard. I'm just like, But anyway, I'm just new and I'm just listening. You know, I got turned on to him by a young lady here in Jacksonville. I haven't read any books yet because I'm already on a series of books, but he is next. So I'm just listening, you know, right now. And I am a street reader. I've read a lot of street novels. And as you guys were saying, so what is a mistake in the book? I see it all the time, but if the book has my attention, that does not bother me at all.
Right.
So, you know, everything that you guys are saying, I'm just like, wow, because I didn't even know that you guys literally, like, have to even go through all that kind of nonsense, you know, when you're writing a book or even if you make a mistake. And like the other young lady said, nobody is perfect. So what a letter is missing out of a word? Can't you put the word together, you know? So I just appreciate JC inviting me to listen, and I am really enjoying the conversation, so thank you for that. And like I said, I'm getting around to reading your books shortly, so thank you for having me.
That's what's up. Thank you, lady. You know, that's a lot of words that go into books. I mean, what is like, what, 56 to 75 to 100,000 words? And I mean, come on, that's, you're talking about anywhere from, I mean, depending on how many, you know, I like to do 8 to 10 chapters, pretty much, 8 to 10 pages a chapter. You're talking about 32 chapters. I mean, even the editor, I mean, you got a better editor in the world. I mean, ain't no telling, you might miss that one thing. And, I mean, it shouldn't be a big deal. I mean, I've read, even after Street Dreams, a couple of books that, you know, every other page had a mistake, but, you know, it didn't hinder the story, and I enjoyed the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's, you know, I guess if it's something that's really like a sentence that's, you know, throughout the book, if there's different sentences that are wrong. I guess they mean, you know, errors that, like if a sentence isn't correctly, you know, done out, you know, like if they have a word
right.
that's not supposed to be there, and then you go to another chapter and this word is misspelled, you go to another chapter. I guess they mean throughout the book, because you can surely overlook maybe a word that maybe was misspelled or a letter that was left off, you know, but if it's just throughout the book, it's just, you know, just errors throughout the book, then I can understand. You know, but, you know, one error here, there, because I've read a couple of, I don't want to call this author's name, a couple of her books, and she's really, you know, up there and seen errors in her book, you know. So, you know, it didn't take anything away from the story, but, you know, just the point, if it was throughout the book, you know, every other page or every other chapter you see an error here and this and that, you know, that can really take away from the story then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can understand if a reviewer was reading your book and then she gets to one chapter, she makes it through that, and the next chapter, all these errors and things. There's something has to be said about it because, number one, if you have your book out there like that, you know, and a good crowd of people see it, then that's going to turn them off. Well, JC's book was messed up from the floor, but I ain't never getting no book to here, cause, you know. So you have to, you know, appreciate it. You know, you have to appreciate it when they do call your attention to that, you know, especially if it is like that, you know. So because but like I said, I knew when this person made that complaint, I knew it was something personal going on. You know, that, you know, why she has said it. Because I have never gotten any other complaints from anybody about the editing in the book and that book or any of my other books. And all of a sudden, you know, she comes along and, you know, said what she said. But nevertheless, you know, authors go through the mill just as well as any 9-to-5 person do, because writing is my job. And I know there's going to be a lot of people who may have this to say or that to say about my books, but you know what? That's not going to deter me from writing anything, you know. And I know that I cannot please everybody all the time, but the ones that I do please, you know, they put me out there, you know, and they spread the word, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So,
Like word of mouth.
Yeah, that's, you know, how you get out there, you know, because people, you know, I run into people and, you know, just get into a conversation with them and, you know, let them know that I'm a local author. If I'm, you know, doing something here or whenever I go to an event or something like that, I'm always passing out my business cards. And, you know, people who have read my books, they call me and they talk to me and they tell me, oh, my goodness, and this one girl, she was waiting for this second book to come out. And she calls me little Terry McMillan, but whatever. And when the book came out, she said she read the book in 2 hours. She said, girl, she said, that book, she said, I know. So I'm going to do a sequel. There's going to be a third book to go with my What's Past Is Not Forgotten. And after that one, that's definitely going to be the end of it, you know. But she said, you have to keep writing it. You know, you can't just leave us hanging like this. I said, I didn't leave you hanging, but, you know, I'm going to do that and let that be that, you know, because if I could just write about that, I'll never, you know, get anything else written. But that's, you know, what she wanted. And I had planned on, when I wrote the first one, I had just planned on writing that one, but people just kept asking me, well, I want to know this, and you just can't leave me hanging. So now they're saying the same thing, but, you know, when I do it this time, this will be the end. Trust me, this will be the end when I do this last one. So what are you getting ready to do now since you finished Beast and you said you're doing you're going to do a collection of short stories? Is this going to be in one book, the sci-fi, the erotica, the street
lit? Yeah, I'm going to compile stuff that I've done shorts from even from Arrows 2, Arrows 3, you know, stuff, other stuff I submitted to other places for other books, and just the short stories in general that I have wrote, and I'm just going to compile all of them in one book and just, what I'm trying to decide on that now is I'm just going to do that as an e-book, or I'm actually going to just, you know, publish it as a paperback as well. So, you know, that's still up in the air and I'm still thinking about it. But that's right now seems to be my next move. After that, I got a couple of things in mind. I'm not sure. As far as Beast goes, you know, the thing with that is I don't want to, you know, keep bringing the character out and then he gets old and tired. That's one thing I don't
want to
see. I mean, people enjoying it. You know, yeah, as a writer, as an author, yeah, I can recreate situations and throw them in there and continue to blow people's minds away with it, which I know I can do. But the fact is I don't want the character to get old. Now, I can do some spinoffs and with some of the other characters in there and flow with it, but I don't want that character to get over because everybody reads it, love it, and you know, that character there is just, I just smile when I talk about it. But, you know, that's the plan for right now is to do this little compilement and then see what direction I'm going to take that and then possibly go into another book. I'm debating to not to do go into a different genre because, you know, my support base for Street Lit is so strong and I hate to lose them because if it weren't for them, you know, where I'm now, you know, ain't no telling, but you know what, I may go and test the waters a little bit in other areas, but it's not going to be nothing. You know, when I write something, it has to be something that keeps me motivated. I taking nothing from a lot of junk, I just can't do nothing where there's really no action going on, just a bunch of fussing and baby daddy drama and mama drama and stuff. I mean, that's cool, but I need something to go on to keep me motivated to continue writing. And, you know, and yes, I read those things and love them, but I mean, as far as me sitting down every day, you know, taking my spare time to do a book, it has to interest me. So it may be into some, either from gothic, sci-fi, or, you know, another street bang or something like that.
Do you have any advice for someone who wants to write street lit? What type of advice would you give them opposed to them wanting to, if they came to you and say, JC, I want to write a different genre, and they, you know, spoke to you about your book, what advice would you give them if they, you know, on street lit?
Well, if this is their first book, the first advice I give anyone that's going to do any writing is be prepared to get a good editor and be prepared if you have to pay for one, because editor is important. But if you're doing if you're already in a genre and you want to switch over, that's a tough one. I mean, you just pretty much you have to know pretty much how the streets are to write a street lit. I mean, this is one of those things, you know, if you was cooped up in your mama's house all the time and she won't let you go nowhere and everything. I mean, I ain't saying you can't do it, but in my opinion, and to that person in the chat room, I did say it in my opinion that I think it would be very difficult to write.
Okay. Okay, so we have a few minutes left, and I want to let everybody know next week's show I'm having So Imagery on. She wrote a book called The Scenario, which was, oh my goodness, it was such a fabulous read. So we're going to have her on next Friday. And I did learn how to pronounce her name, Rhea. It's So Imagery.
I see, yeah.
Yeah, so she's going to be with us next week. And anybody who has a show or anything coming up, you can post it in the chat room. And I'd like to thank JC for being our special guest this evening. JC, keep your head up, keep writing, and I'm going to read Beast AD. What does the AD stand for?
After death.
Oh, okay.
And you will only know what that you will only know what that means if you read the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, I read the first one, but yeah. Okay, so like I said, anybody want to post their shows, put them up in the chat room. I know Ms. Kane, I co-host with Ms. Kane Monday through Wednesday, sometimes Thursday. International Booby has a show. Penelope Flynn has a show. So put your shows up in the chat room, everybody, and I do appreciate everybody coming out. America, Googans, Guest 11898, International Booby 2, Jordy, Mom, Miss Kane, Penelope Flynn, and of course my co-host Rhea. Thanks,
Rhea.
Oh, and Lisa, Lisa came out. Like Miss Kane said, where was Black Man 37? Where you at? Okay, everybody. With that being said, everybody have a beautiful weekend and keep reading. If you have any events or anything like that, you can post them in the chat room as well. You know, just go for it. And I'm getting ready to, I think I'm going to go to bed early tonight. I've been staying up till 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, just being crazy. But thanks, Rhea. I do appreciate you. I appreciate everybody who came out tonight, made the comments, and called in. And JC, I will be, reading Beast AD and having you back on the show. So I do appreciate you coming on tonight.
I can't wait to be back. Just to let everybody know real quick, my website is jcthearthur.com. And you can also get both books on Kindle. They $2.99. And today it was number 15 for fictional dramas, Beast. So it's doing really well on Kindle. So I appreciate you being here. I can't wait to come back.
Well, you're definitely going to come back once I read Beast AD. So with that being said, everybody have a pleasant night. See you guys next week.
All right.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Rhea. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.